I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
20 minutes away from the AMA, Ask Me Anything, to wrap the show up every single day at 1:40 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. All you got to do is call us up at 404-726-0929. Get on hold and ask us anything you want. We'll answer it to the best of our ability. What's that?
My cord all tangled up, man.
Oh, that'll happen.
Yeah, man.
You got to untangle your cord every now and
yeah,
then.
Yeah, man.
Just to keep it, you know, keep it straight.
Because usually when we have Joe on, Brian Day's on TV, right? And we know he has, like, the darkest of hair.
Yeah.
And beard and everything like that.
Yeah, like unnaturally
dark. And we had another episode last night
Smudging people's jerseys.
Yeah. And my only thing is this. It's like, does it need time to dry?
Or he's applying it too close to tip?
You know what I mean? Like, does it need time to dry or something like that?
Is he using off-brand?
I don't know.
I don't either.
He got too much damn money to use anything off-brand.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, got too much stuff to use off-brand. But yeah, dog, just watching him rub that damn black stuff on other people's jersey. Is it a mechanism to, like, loosen up the defense?
Maybe it's an intimidation factor. I don't know.
What's intimidated about?
I marked you.
Like black soot getting on somebody.
Well, you know how, like, dogs pee on stuff to mark their territory? Maybe he's rubbing his hair dye on folks to let them know.
You're mine? Yeah. Like, they think he, like, Adebisi or something?
I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's a weird early season storyline.
It's a weird thing that has happened twice.
Yeah, man.
That has happened twice that some black shoe polish came off his head.
It's very, very
funny. I'm sorry.
Very funny. All right. I don't know if there's any logical way to transition.
Oh, no, I said that because Joe's an Ohio State fan.
I thought you were saying, okay.
I think Joe dyes his hair.
Bald.
Yeah, Joe is bald. Joe chooses to be bald.
I thought you were suggesting maybe that Joe. He polished up.
No. Has Joe ever had hair? I've never seen Joe without a hat before.
I would imagine, like, a young adolescent Joe Patrick had a head of hair.
Yeah, because I'm not, you know, mama.
At one point I did. It did exist at one point. What happened to guys? Like, I feel like, you know, like, Michael Jordan was a chrome dome guy. He's, like, you know, one of the best basketball players of all time. I felt like when I was growing up, like, half the basketball players basically had a bald head.
They did.
It was all good. Now it seems like these guys are, like, way too ashamed to do that. I don't get it.
Another of the long negative legacies of LeBron James.
Yeah,
in the NBA.
It's LeBron's fault.
It's LeBron's fault.
Yeah, because he wants to hang on to his hair, so all these other guys want to wear them weird looking things.
In the 80s, he would have shaved that thing in 2005.
Yeah, man.
That sentence didn't make any sense. But you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, shaving him.
I remember the headband kept getting thicker.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
Like, he had special order headbands.
All right, this is going to be a beanie before long.
Yeah, he has special, special order headbands.
Anyway, Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us. He's our Falcons reporter.
Joe, how close were you to being working from over there? How close was it?
How close? I'm sorry. What do you mean?
How close was it that we were going to get Joe Patrick live from Berlin, Germany?
Was it discussed?
Was it discussed?
I would love to go over there and, you know, have some schnitzel. Is schnitzel something that you have? That's a food, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then drink some, get some Oktoberfest lagers in me.
Yes.
I could do that. I could do that for the station, you know? I mean, I'm humble, but I could do that.
Was it?
I don't know. I guess I just missed the cut. Is Bo going?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, if Bo goes, why can't you go?
Job. I could have done his job.
Yeah. I know you could. I could hand Wes a card. This segment here brought to you by Mercedes Benz.
Exactly. I bring binoculars to every game.
You do?
I actually do. And I'm happy to share, by the way. I'm like the guy, the weird guy in the press box who busts the binoculars out, and then everybody else around me is like, hey, can I borrow those real quick? And yeah, of course.
You share your binoculars? How you get pink eye? Oh,
that's a good point. That's what happened to Tua a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's how you get damn pink eye.
You got some Bushnells or what kind of?
Oh, my goodness.
What kind of, anyway.
Like a Tua Tagovailoa situation.
What was the difference last weekend on the – because there was some drives that really looked good, and obviously they scored a number of touchdowns and played better in the second half. And then there were drives that just never got off the ground, just like three and outs in like 14 seconds. What was the difference, in your opinion, on the ones that worked versus the ones that didn't?
Well, I don't –
I wish I kind of knew. You know, there was obviously some times where they were able to get the run game going a little bit more. It wasn't like consistent throughout the game, but it felt to me like when they targeted Drake London, that's when good things were happening, basically. And it was really frustrating to watch this team on third down for so much of the game. But obviously, especially in the second half, when they started converting their first third downs of the game, the offense did get going a little bit more. And I think it was just generally important to see Michael Penix do what he did in that second half, because it really felt like at one point we were on the verge of another blowout, you know, like an embarrassing blowout.
It did.
Yeah, before Jalen Walker knocked that ball out. So, you know, it was good to see them kind of come back. And, you know, like Drake London's just that guy, you know, like he's just able to make some plays and make this offense look so much better. We were talking last week. I remember when I came on, guys, you asked me, like, you know, who's the biggest missing piece or what piece did they miss most from the Dolphins? And I kind of very quickly said Michael Penix. But, man, that game made me reconsider, because this offense seems to function completely differently also when Drake London is in that game. And he gives you just an outlet that nobody else on this offense really even gives you, even Bijan Robinson, for as good as he is.
Hey, so I got, and you dive into more of the percentages and all these different things of this offense. So is there where is their percentage across the league as far as using the middle of the field in their passing game?
Yeah, no, it's I don't know if it's a cause for concern, but they certainly do it among the least in the NFL in terms of the completions over the middle of the field. We really saw it for the first time in the season. In that game against the Commanders, where they hit Drake London on one of those deep in routes. But they really have not done it. And I think it's kind of partly Zach Robinson and partly Michael Penix. Like, I think Michael Penix prefers to throw outside the numbers, and therefore they kind of don't really design a whole lot of stuff. Although I will say, when you go back and watch the tape, there are receivers that come open over the middle of the field, and Michael Penix just is not looking there. And, you know, it's something that was, I don't know if it's a concern necessarily, but it was something that was noticeable coming out of Washington, which was that he just went to the boundaries a lot to make his big time throws. And there wasn't a lot, you know, down in those intermediate areas of the field, like 11 to 20 yards between the numbers. And, you know, it's kind of like, that's where you have to be successful, in my opinion, in the NFL, if you want to have that long-term success. And, you know, for as good of a, we were just talking about Drake London, for as much of an outlet as he is in those situations along the sidelines, you know, if you don't have him, that is when you have to start utilizing all the areas of the field and make those defenses cover every inch of grass. And, you know, that's where you got to be good in those situations. And, you know, Kirk Cousins was a quarterback who was supposed to, you know, do a lot of that. He obviously tried that a lot more, although he threw a bunch of interceptions last year in this scheme. So I think it's something they still got to work out between both Robinson and Penix.
I know that this is something that you have a lot of thoughts on, so I'm kind of just trying to tee you up on this one. But I think the number itself is pretty astonishing if you're a Falcons fan. The idea that Tyler Allgeier has 10 carries in the last three games is pretty crazy, given how effective he's been at times this year. What does that fact, that number over the last 3 weeks, say to you about this offense?
Yeah, I mean, it says that the offense has not been playing well. And I think, you know, it's a chicken and egg kind of situation. Like, is the offense not playing well because they're not getting the ball to Tyler Allgeier, or is Tyler Allgeier not getting the ball because this offense isn't playing well? And I think, you know, there's obviously kind of some element of both of those things. It's never kind of always clearly one thing or the other, but I do think it's more that this team is not putting itself in position, not getting the game in a game state where they can give the ball to Tyler Allgeier. You know, like against the Dolphins, they were down, and you have to throw in those situations. When you get down in a game, you can't just be running the ball. And so, therefore, Tyler Allgeier is not going to see a lot of the ball. Kind of the same situation against the Patriots, where they're down, they're trying to, you know, scratch and claw their way back. There just were not many of those opportunities. But I think they could still get him the ball a little bit more, even in some of the early game situations where this team has been very happy to hand the ball to Bijan Robinson. You can never fault a team for wanting to do that. But I feel like you could even get, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like Bijan's getting a little bit bottled up, a little bit, like, kind of maybe even slowed down, just, like, kind of having dealt with so many hits and such over the course of the season, and that Tyler Allgeier might be the better option for you, especially on certain kind of schemes, run schemes that you want to go to, even early in the game, to get him the ball and let him, you know, bowl into some defenders and pick up some of those mush yards that they talk about at the point of contact. So I would like to see Allgeier get the ball more. I'm sure you guys, I think everybody would, but, you know, obviously it's more than just, you know, calling the plays for him. You got to be in position to be able to do that.
Hey, real quick, Joe, I know I was reading some clips from yesterday's presser. Ronnie Harrison, it says that Ross says that he's earned more snaps. Is that a good or bad thing?
That's a good thing. Okay. I mean, it's a good thing. You don't want to be in the situation, but, you know, it's a good thing for this Falcons defense because he is the better option than J.D. Bertrand. Right. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that has happened, but it's right. I think it's the right decision. I think it's the right assessment of the individual players and the way that the defense basically performs when either of those guys are on the field. I think Ronnie Harrison gives them the best chance to win. And it's also, you know, there is also the upside of being able to develop Harrison a little bit as this guy who's a converted safety. I would still kind of consider him just like a big safety. When you look at him, he's really not like linebacker size in terms of like the thickness of his arms and legs and stuff. But, you know, develop those instincts and keep working on them. And, you know, that's the kind of player that Jeff Holbrook can really utilize now and down the road.
Injuries. Who do you think plays on Sunday? And I know we still have a couple more days of designations, but who do you think that has a chance to go on Sunday, and who do you think is for sure out?
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, it's looking good because it seems like Billy Bowman and Zach Harrison are likely going to be able to play, especially Zach Harrison, who was back involved in practice. He's, you know, he's been in practice now. I believe he was a full participant yesterday. So that's really, really good news because this Falcons defense is totally different. Again, we're talking about like how the defense performs when certain guys are playing. I think Zach Harrison's played at like a Pro Bowl level. I don't know if he's necessarily going to make a Pro Bowl, but I think he's been that good and that much of a force. So that's going to be big. But obviously on the other side of the ball, you've got major issues along the front. Yeah. Matthew Bergeron is going to miss this game. Chris Lindstrom's going to be a game time decision most likely. You'd think he'd kind of be like in the Jake Matthews school of like, you know, if he can possibly play, he'll give it a go. But we'll see on that. Either way, you know, you have Kyle Hinton, a guy, you know, just limited players basically to come in for them. And then longer term, Storm Norton, I asked Raheem Morris about him yesterday because I noticed he was a DNP last Friday and hadn't kind of been discussed. Well, turns out he could very well be out for the season potentially after, you know, he's not potentially not being able to return after his 21-day window had already opened as he had another setback. And Raheem Morris said it was not good news for the team. So going to be another thing. It was the reason why they signed the tackle, Andrew Stuber, you know, as an acquisition on deadline day. And it's going to be something the Falcons navigate going forward.
Great info as always, Joe. Thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter, every Thursday at this time.
Hey, guys.
Just a wealth of knowledge.
The third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic that is presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th. It is our third annual one. Even if you can't play, you can still help benefit a great cause. Go to 92.9thegame.com and click on the events page and donate to Pets for Vets. So if you can't.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't make it. It's still a great charitable donation. So make sure you guys go over there and click on the link. And again, that's our third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic that is on Monday, November 24th, brought to you by Window Nation.
Even if you can't play,
yeah,
hang out at the bar with us.
We'll be there.
We'll be broadcasting.
Drinking Transfusion with Dr. Fusion.
So what will we be drinking then?
Liquor.
Okay. All right. We'll come back and get to an AMA because there was a different way I could have taken that, but I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Phone line's open, 404-726-0929. Load them all the way up and ask us anything you want. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.